The following podcast is for mature audiences only, so hey, look, if you're under 18, just turn it off, okay?
Do you know the secrets of making friends? They are so simple and easy. That looks easy enough, and Joey is going to try it out.
Miss Jenga
and Freckles
and Captain Jack is still pillaging the high seas.
Yeah,
or sea meaning cunts, I think.
we open clean.
Yeah, keep it. I don't know. I like working blue. I always have. It's all good. We have a fabulous guest that I've been wanting to get here forever.
Right.
We're on episode 49.
49.
Yeah, so like for 49 episodes.
40 fucking nine.
It is Lena Gabosh, one of the founders of The Wet Spot, which later became the CSPC, which we know it today, and great place to go and play. I like to call it the clubhouse for the kinky kids.
Yay.
And you are the anti-mame of BDSM.
Oh,
that's what I like to say.
Since
anyway.
Anti-Mame is my favorite character of all, I have to say that's a great compliment. Yeah, because life is a banquet, you know.
Most are starving to death. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I have a tattooed on my arm.
I know. And I met you a couple years ago when I came with the swinger olive leaf.
Oh yes, I remember that. Would you please come and help?
Yeah, we wanted to integrate a little bit more kink into the rabbit hole that when I was working at
I'm so glad you did.
Me too, because yeah. I, you know, if nothing else, I got an amazing friend out of it. So
I agree.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We go on regular dates and go see theater shows and
yay.
Harass dwarves.
Got
and
some coming up. Yay.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you're just a force to be reckoned with in the world in general.
Thank you.
I have to say.
Thank you.
So you've appeared on major TV shows and in
documentaries,
and and you've written articles in magazines normalizing the kinky shit that we're all into.
Yeah, I've done a lot.
Thank you.
You're
thank
so
you.
Welcome.
You've got some broad shoulders there, sister.
My pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. And what are you excited about now?
Oh my God. Besides being a grandma, I have an amazing 16-year-old granddaughter. What am I excited about
What's
now?
What's amazing about your 16-year-old granddaughter?
That she's genderqueer and she just came out to me this week as polyamorous.
Nice.
I know. I was like, really? That's awesome. She's femme, genderqueer, poly, gender, she's like, I don't like the word bisexual. She just likes everybody. And
pansexual. Our daughter can come in and school you on it if you want.
There we go. Omnisexual. And
now,
she's amazing.
Now, what is omnisexual for people that don't know?
It's kind of like pansexual, but some people in the BDSM community use pansexual to denote more about play and less about orientation. Pansexual means all genders and all orientations, like if a space is pansexual. And they do that in the S&M BDSM community.
Oh,
so I like omnisexual because it doesn't confuse people from the BDSM community.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Got it.
I also like sapiosexual because smart people turn me on.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. So you're excited about being a grandma?
I'm excited about being a grandma. And part about being a grandma, and when we think of grandmas, is that we're getting older. And I'm 62 years old. It's so weird. And so one of the things that I've started looking into that I've been interested in for quite some time, actually, like I started speaking about this maybe about 6 years ago, is aging and sexuality.
Yeah.
So that's the area right now that I'm kind of like fired up about.
Cool. So you're obviously still sexually active.
Oh, yes. I am.
Okay. And mm-hmm. what is the biggest issue that you think is facing your age range?
My age range. Well, the baby boomers are out there in droves, and mm-hmm. and we're a large generation of a cohort, and we're also a very healthy one overall.
Right.
And so we're having sex later we're more sexually active later in our lives, and we were not raised with condoms.
Oh.
highest incidence of new HIV cases are people over 60.
Wow. Yeah.
And not just gay men.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty scary thing.
Yeah. And what's your champion on that? Wrap that rascal.
Wear a condom. Yeah. No, but what part of it is education. Because there's people my age aren't in a space to be educated either. There's not like, you know, schools information like we get at school. They're not talking about it at church, you know, which is where a lot of people, and many people my age, well, not maybe my age, but some people my age, but people older than me, a lot of them are ended up in assisted living situations, and they're not educating staff. They're not educating family, you know, and,
so is this a situation where boomers who have been married through,
well, the 90s, I mean,
through the condom use generation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then they're getting out the other side either through death of a partner or late in life divorce or just...
That's exactly what it is.
Or opening their relationships.
Or opening their relationship.
Yeah.
Most of it, though, is that they've lived in a monogamous life for body fluid, bonded, you know, never thought about condoms because we had the pill.
Right.
Don't have to worry about pregnancy anymore. Whoopee! You know, and... some of them have, so there's several factors. Some of them are newly divorced, newly widowed. All of a sudden, they're in the dating pool again. They're like, oh, I don't even know what to do.
Right.
You
know?
Right.
The more there's even more tragic step is that there are a fair amount, it turns out, of people who have been living with STIs because of infidelity and not realizing they had an STI.
Oh, yeah. You know, like when he and I were monogamous, my doctor would never even suggest doing a panel
of course.
Of STDs.
Of course not.
Or
right?
STI panel. Yeah.
And so people who are pretty unschooled on it anyhow, they contract an STI and it may not be one that's, you know, maybe asymptomatic or in the case of sometimes HIV, it may take a long time before that pops up.
Right.
So all of a sudden they're in the dating pool again and they don't even know.
Wow.
Or they're the partner of someone who gave them an STI not knowing and like monogamous, thinking they're monogamous. So they don't even know the dangers that they, you know, they don't even know to go get tested. And just like monogamous couple, doctors do not automatically ask people over 60 if they want to do a screen.
So I dated a dude in high school who later became a gynecologist, and periodically I'll leave him voicemails, send him books in the mail.
Oh, you're so awesome.
He gets his what he calls vagina activist bombs. Because I'll always include some sort of loving, snarky note with it of, I certainly hope you're already incorporating this into your practice. If not, you're a dick. You
know? Every one of us who knows doctors should be doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, awesome. I educate my doctor all the time.
I do too.
And, you know, I'm fortunate that she's super open to it. And she's like, oh, yeah, I have an appointment with you today. What you got for me? You know? And that I will bring that up with her. You know, are you talking to your 60 plus clients about?
Because we don't think about it.
No. Yeah. Well, because you're supposed to be old and decrepit and sitting
plus
in a rocking
also,
chair.
For that generation, I think there's a stigma on getting tested. I know for my, I mean, I'm Gen X.
There's a stigma regardless.
I'm Gen X. There is not a stigma for the Gen Ys, for the millennials. No. Gen X, there's a stigma because like, oh shit, you got something. So now you got to go test it. Like, wait, whoa. I got to find out how to, you know, and that's my thought.
I don't
about
know
it,
about
like,
that because I'm dealing with 18-year-olds that are freaked out to go to Planned Parenthood because they might have something.
Well, I think that's a more fear-based than rather than I think there is a cultural shift though. I really do.
Maybe.
But shame is still there. I mean,
the shame is still there. I'm in the burner and raver community, and like I'm always proselytizing to those kids about you know, get tested on a regular basis. Yeah, you're open and you have polyamorous, you know, inklings, but seriously, you got to get tested every 3 to 6 months, depending on your level of sexual activity.
Yeah, true.
Yep. So my doctor, my doctor is this amazing, amazing man who, when I went to see him for the first time, I had Goop Health. You can have two doctors, right? And I had another doctor, a female doctor, and because I prefer female doctors. She wasn't available one time. I had an ear infection or something. I go in, and Dr. Mayer walks in and goes, "Hi, I'm Dr. Mayer. What do you do for a living?" And I said, at that time, I was the executive director. I said, "I'm the executive director of the Center for Sex Positive Culture." And he looks at me. He goes, "That's awesome. My brother's in the sex industry. And I went, really? And he says, yes. Mayer Laboratories, Kimono Condoms. That's my brother's business.
Nice.
My brother and I, dad started National Condom Week.
Wow.
My doctor gets knows it. Is that awesome?
Man,
isn't that awesome?
I want to go see him.
He's amazing. And then yeah. I have so many stories, but the best one was is back in last February, first of March, I was in People magazine as mm-hmm. a BDSM expert.
Oh. Right.
And I had in the magazine and two online. It was really cool. And it was like 3 weeks maybe after it came out that I had to get a pap smear. So I went in and Dr. Mayer's like, so how you doing? You know? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in People magazine.
Yeah.
He goes, really? He says, what episode, what issue? And I told him, and he goes right out to the waiting room. And he goes, comes back in. I couldn't find it, but I told him to keep their eyes open for it.
Nice.
And then, it gets better. So we're talking about the 50 Shades of Grey a little bit and stuff. And because it's a pap and because we have weird state laws, he has to have a female present. So he goes, I need to go find somebody to be there. So hang on. So he runs out and he picks this nurse that normally doesn't do paps, but she happens to be available. She's a really cool nurse. He goes, this is so-and-so. She's really into movies. She just saw the 50 Shades of Grey this week. And so did Alina. And Alina was, and he tells her that I are having a discussion about BDSM while he's doing my pap smear.
Ooh, that's kinky.
It was so hot.
That's so kinky.
So anyhow, yes. I like educating doctors and having smart doctors is an awesome thing. I'm sorry,
so
I got sidetracked.
So I like to call it 50 Shades of Bullshit. And we've had this discussion. I understand and respect your stance. I get it.
There's a lot of people who wouldn't know figured out their kinky if it wasn't for that stupid 50 Shades of Grey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it gives people permission to be kinky. And it's amazing. And this relationship sucked a big one.
There
it's
you go.
Horrible. Okay, that's what good. I always say. Good. I go, the relationship sucked, but there was some really sexy stuff in it. So just ignore that.
All right.
And it's a bodice ripper romance. It's not BDSM 101, which my BDSM community is like, they're doing it wrong. I'm like, it's a fucking romance novel. You know, it's a bodice ripper romance. Set in the modern day instead of in the days of the pirates.
Sure.
So instead of whisking her away on his pirate ship, he whisked away on his helicopter. But here's about bodice ripper romances. Some man loves me so much that he will rape me, he will kidnap me, he will force me to be his wife. That's how much he loves me. It's a fucked up message, but it's been going on for years. Bodice ripper romances are huge. They're like, $3 something billion a year in all romance novels in the industry.
Yeah.
This has been going on for years, and it's a message we need to change.
Right.
And it's still a fantasy from a whole lot of women.
Sure.
So, sorry. Off
no,
my,
no, sorry.
Off
there.
My
That's
pokes.
Awesome.
Well,
off
as
my
soon
soapbox.
As they, you know,
stay on it.
I mean, it's legalized slavery in a lot of ways, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it just
depends. Wait, what now?
Marriage.
Oh, okay.
Marriage is.
Yeah,
we segued. Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
No, but
you know, and it's. I mean, I'm an officiant. I'm also getting a divorce, so I've got the whole Libra scales going back and forth.
I'm an officiant, and I've been divorced 4 times. So you know.
So are you the Liz Taylor or anti-mame of BDSM?
Anti-mame. Anti-mame.
But you've got those gorgeous eyes. So.
I never married the same person over and over again, so I can't be the Liz Taylor.
Oh, there you
go.
Ah,
there
okay.
Right.
Yes. Definitely.
Fair
definitely.
Enough. Yeah. No. I mean. You know, we've talked a lot about Sex at Dawn and the whole uprising of monogamy as well as, you know, marriage as we know it today, along with agriculture. And it's to trace geological lines and the whole nine yards and to keep women from, you know, and then you read stuff about the Greeks and the Romans and how the women were so ferocious in their sexuality that the men had to have safe houses, you know? And I'm like...
And boyfriends.
Why did
and,
I...
Yeah,
and boyfriends.
Why did I miss that?
You know? No, I mean, monogamy is about being able to give your kid that piece of property that, you know, it's just about property. I mean, it really
is.
It's
a business contract.
Totally.
And I think that it's been romanticized through, you know, the ring and the dress and the party and the...
Well, even...
Know,
well,
the
it has to. It has to be... I mean, seriously, it has to be because marriage, I mean, yes, there were people who were married who were commoners or peasants or whatever, but for a long, long time,
those marriages didn't fucking matter.
No.
I mean, that was like, oh, yeah, you're married because you're living together and you're going to have a kid. You know, everybody, the church says great. But the people that was important for was the royalty where, the you know, it's like, yeah. I'm going to make a contract with you and you're going to marry my daughter and I'm going to give you this land. And when you have That's a right. kid, they get this kingdom.
Right.
Awesome, right? Cool. So let's write that down and make a contract out
now
of it.
Now I'm going to introduce my daughter to your son. And
exactly. Yeah. And you would never have to worry, you know, like, oh, they're eight.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
That's the one, the big thing. In fact, the whole romantic chivalry stuff mm-hmm. were basically knights making love to their queens and the royalty.
Their concubines. But
the romance was between the knight and the husband and wife. It's like, oh, whatever, you know, we're together because right. we have to be. So that romance would end up being with the knight and the lady. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it was platonic because there wasn't always sex involved in it.
Right.
But it was all this
chivalry
and romance,
protocol.
And the intimacy yeah. and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know,
yeah, entertaining in the queen of the court. And yeah.
I'll
yeah.
entertain. No.
Right?
And now we
pull that beer can out. Let me see it.
And now we're in a world where people are starting to look at monogamy a little different. There's some
yeah,
definitely some
I've
shifts.
I read a great article the other day about not only is monogamy dead, but polyamory.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, and here's
that's an
why.
Interesting idea.
There goes the polyamory train.
People, and I mean, and it, if you, here's the deal. If you don't deal with your shit, you're going to carry it over to wherever you go next.
Right.
And this article was proving the point that polyamory allows people who are shitty at monogamy to hide in polyamory.
Well, some people yeah. are just shitty at relationships, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was written in a really positive way about if you want to do it right, here's how you do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was.
Was it on Slate or HuffPost or something?
I think it was on HuffPost. I don't know. Marty replied to it. He was like one of the first posters. And I'm like, oh, I love you, Marty. Man, oh, you beat me.
Marty's great.
I was totally going to go
I'm
off.
I'm sorry I missed that one.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Yeah, we'll post it on the episode and get it going. Do you have it already up on your phone now?
I am.
Yeah.
Looking up the URL.
Yeah, so as we're going through our separation of business contract. People are saying, you guys are weird. We're still in the same bed. We're still in the same house. We've got some emotional ups and downs. We're not getting out of each other's lives for any emotional reason.
This goes back to the same old romantic notions and stuff that we've created in this whole romanticized monogamy.
Yeah.
That right there is that so here's the deal. We go through our life, if we're truly a monogamous-minded cultural person, looking for the one.
Right.
The one.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And so we wander through life going, are you the one? You're the one. Oh, no, you're not the one. You're the one. Mm-hmm. And then
you got to be the one. You feel like the one.
That's right. My heart's pitter-patting. And so you start off in this.
That's an anxiety attack.
And our body puts off all this wonderful stuff. So new relationship right. energy just takes over. So you have this great relationship. In fact, it might even be a really good relationship. And it might have been really just fabulous for the first 10 years.
Right.
Then something happens. Somebody gets sick. Somebody decides they want to take a class in some philosophy. There's a difference of opinion. People move on. People grow at different paces, mm-hmm. and relationships start to falter.
To great, mm-hmm. yeah.
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 So then you go through, let's just say after the 10 years of awesome, awesome stuff, you got 2 years that were kind of sucky and 1 year that was so fucking bad that it was time to end this relationship.
Right.
So then you end the relationship of 13 years, and instead of saying, you know, the last year sucked, but I had 10 years that were oh so good, you say, I just wasted 13 years of my life on you, motherfucker.
Right. Right.
Because you weren't the one. And then you deny, you just negate all of that.
Yeah.
And because marriage is a failing, it has to be somebody's fault.
Right.
That's the big one. Has to be somebody's
right.
fault.
Right.
So since it's not my fault, it's your fault. So you're some kind of asshole. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hate you. I'm going to call you names. I'm going to cause disturbances and not realize that you're somebody who meant a whole lot to me.
Yeah.
For 12 out of 13 years.
For a reason.
For mm-hmm. a reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't negate all that.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, Freckles and I, we're fucking amazing parents together. We're amazing parents.
Absolutely.
And we're good friends and we have a good time together. And there's just some things in our relationship that we completely disagree on, and they're critical. And yep. so, but it's not that I want him out of my life, you know.
God, no.
You know, it's I don't want our kids to ever have to make a choice who gets to go to the wedding if that's what they choose, right? Because we're back to the bodice ripper of I'm selling my daughter into slavery.
No, that, you're at,
wow,
that's kind of a
yeah. See,
kind of, that's kind of hot, but I know, you know,
right?
Mm. I'll write that novel.
I'm a good negotiator.
It's consensual,
right? And she, yeah.
No, that's an important, that's
but people,
important.
Like, we're getting a lot of, and not that we didn't get a whole lot of kickback and shit for raising our kids in a sex positive household. So it's like, we've never done anything right.
Right.
In air quotes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
why? Well, we did swinging wrong. we're doing divorce wrong.
Well, we're doing polyamory wrong because we're not fucking everybody in the house.
Oh no, you aren't.
No,
I'm out of here.
Right?
I'm
right. See, whoa. Yeah, yeah. Just because you walked in here does not mean you get fucked.
Right.
I mean, it may. It could.
Don't bend
but it
over.
Does not
that's
necessarily
all I'm
mean.
Yeah. So
I mean,
it's been an interesting experience yep. because, like, we had our 20th wedding anniversary, and
yeah, I saw that online. That was awesome.
I posted a really great picture of us grinning at each other, and you know, and I said, let's make this one to remember. Thanks for being my friend and growing with me on this amazing journey. And I got more people who
what the fuck?
Yeah. What are there, you guys not getting a divorce?
Wait,
now?
You
what's
got,
going on?
How many? There
what?
Were like two.
There was more than that.
Were there?
I've been seeing people for a while, so it's been culminating. Yeah, so it's been an interesting experience.
It's because of that expectation.
I was sincere about that. And then there's also the piece of let's make it nice. Like, why not? I've been doing that every year since Facebook existed. Yeah. Why am I going to stop this year?
That's right.
You know?
And but it is.
He didn't post
we have this.
Though.
Whoa. Bad move.
I have more cynical friends.
No, one of the things.
And you haven't blocked your family either. I've blocked a lot of people. So.
Yeah, that's another thing about getting old that's really great. I just quit blocking people. If you guys want, I blocked one person because I didn't like his politics. Other than that, it's like you can. I don't give a shit. You can see whatever you want.
Right.
My mother.
Yeah, I don't.
I have some fun stories about my mom. But one of the things about so I never. If you notice, I never talk about my former partners as exes because the word ex. Somebody actually told me that after I was talking about my former husband Steve. And I was in a class at one of the colleges, and a girl raised her hand. She goes, "Why do you use the word X?" She goes, "Because it just when you use the word X, it crosses people out of your life, and it's obvious mm-hmm. you're still friends with this guy." And I'm like, oh, "That's awesome!
Nice.
Learning from a college student,
yeah."
Right? And so I use the word former because Steve and I were married for 13, 14 years. I wanted to move. We lived in Tukwila. I wanted to move to Seattle. He wanted to move farther out, right? Mm-hmm. We just kept having these little things come up, and we realized this is one thing poly does do. Sometimes poly hides some of your problems.
Yeah.
We realized we had not had sexual intercourse in 3+ years.
Wow.
Because we had other partners, and we, you know, and so we just realized that things had changed, and it was time to transform our marriage into not a marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And he was amazing. We owned a house together, so we had to do some financial paperwork and do this whole program, and it had to be put in a court document, and he wrote this paragraph, and I'll paraphrase it. Alina and Steve agree that one of the most important things that ever happened to them was meeting each other.
Aww.
And if there's at all possible, they will be for each other no matter what.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And that agreement that was notarized ended up in our divorce decree. Probably one of the few people have something like that in their divorce decree. And so
anymore.
Yes, that's what I want to hear. So one of the things we did though is he didn't want to I refused to take his pension. He worked for Boeing. I could have gotten a whole lot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of it, but I didn't earn any of it. That wasn't mine. He gave me a big chunk of the savings because he didn't want to sell the house, and then an agreement that he would give me another percentage of the house when he sold it years later. And so there was just all this greatness. And then when he sold the house, he gave me what money we'd agreed on, and then he called me up about 6 months later, and he goes, "I feel like a real shit because I should have given you more money because we sold the house for more money than we thought we were. So here's another $10,000.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And then he took me to Italy the fall after my breast cancer to celebrate being healthy.
Yeah.
And we're still not sexually involved. We're not lovers.
Right.
We're just close friends.
Nice.
And that's from not buying into the paradigm
yep.
that you have to be an enemy.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
not because I got money. It's because I have a friendship. I love right. his girlfriend. I like, you know. And spending 2 weeks in Italy reminded me why we're divorced.
Right.
Not that I don't love him dearly, but
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
dear.
Yeah.
We do not travel well together.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. And that's what we're attempting to accomplish is, and
bravo.
It's, yeah.
Anything I can do to support, you got it.
Thank you.
I think it's
we've
awesome.
Talked about, because we always talked about doing a vow renewal and we're talking about doing a vow renewal.
Ooh, that's a really cool idea.
And changing the vows. What are we vowing to each other now?
That's a really you know? Great idea.
And just a big celebration with our friends and, you know, hey, we're getting divorced. Come and party with us.
I have several mm-hmm. friends who have had divorce parties.
Yeah.
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 And it's interesting. Like
separately
all
or together?
Together.
Oh, nice.
Together. And here, yeah. But here's the thing that's really interesting is all the people I know that have had these kinds of divorces are all part of the poly community.
Right.
So mm-hmm. people that get relationship on a different level. And whether we do it right or not is another story.
Yeah.
But we get it on a different level.
Well, and know? Because, the only role model, in air quotes, from people that I've known that have divorced have been, they keep it civil for the kids. And
oh,
that's,
yes.
And there, I think there might be a few people that I know that have gotten divorced that are still friends, and it's such a rarity, and they get such a hard time from people, because I don't understand why it's unfathomable, you know?
Because if you can get along... You know, why should you be divorced?
Yeah. Right.
I've actually had that question. I'm like, because there's things that we can't get along about.
Yeah, there's deal breakers that are.
Because there's just stuff that happens and
things,
you know, we
things
grow
happen.
In separate directions and, you know, all these different kinds of things. You know, it doesn't mean we can't be friends because our friendship doesn't encompass these other
yeah.
these other decisions or these other things these that are happening. So there you go.
Yep.
They're just a thing about that person that you're like, oh, they have that thing. And everybody has friends that there's a whole bunch of stuff you like, and then there's that thing that's kind of like,
I will never go to the game with you. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah,
because you are
right.
really stupid at the game. Right. You know. No. No. We have. I definitely. That's why I compare polyamory to friendship when I teach about polyamory is
right.
that we have the friend we go to the movies with, the friend we go to the theater with, and the one we go see the Seahawks with, and they're not always the same friend.
Right.
And they're all important, best type friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's poly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that brings us back into the BDSM thing, too, because there are different types of play for different partners. And
that's right.
That's, you know, what's been your experience with that?
Well, I'm a switch, right? So a
Yay.
Switch is somebody who likes to do both. And I started off as a masochist. Didn't realize I was a switch until the first time I was a masochist who would occasionally top other bottoms just because I was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And till one time I hit a guy and he screamed, my pussy went, and I went, oh, that's what masochism is. And I got really turned on by hurting this guy. So I realized I was a masochist. And I'm kind of dominant only because one of my partners likes it, and I'm not submissive. So that's me, right? So
okay.
I've done it. And I've tried submission. I tried it for 5 years. So I've got all these different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the question again?
Okay. And you can be a bottom without being submissive.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be a bottom without being
kind
submissive.
Of a, that's one of those things. That people
it's one of those
oh,
myths,
wait,
you
yeah.
know. But yeah,
yeah.
you don't
so
have to be
So explain it. What's the myth?
Oh, that that bottoms are automatically submissives, that a bottom
right.
is a slave or servant and submissive. In fact, there's a myth that people who bottom are some kind of weaklings.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Strongest people I know are people who are even submissives, not just bottoms, but
right.
people who are bottoms or people who are submissives. Some of the strongest people I know.
So what is the difference?
What is the difference?
Between a bottom and a submissive. Because I think a lot of people...
So
use that interchangeably.
So I use the term.
Yeah, they do.
I use the term bottom as kind of an umbrella term for all the different kinds of things
mm-hmm.
that you can have done to you. So you can be a submissive, you can be a masochist, you can be a slave, which is kind of submission to the ultimate. You can be a sexually submissive, you can be a service bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all different kinds of bottoms, and
mm-hmm.
they all have very different. And sometimes they're intertwined. There's a lot of people who are masochists who are also submissive.
Right.
But however, I have a friend who's a dominant, who's a masochist. So she orders her slave to beat her once in a while.
Yeah.
You know. So some of it's, so what I'm going to get at is some of it's physiological.
Mm-hmm.
So masochism and sadism is a pretty physiological thing. So when you bottom as a masochist, you're not like being, you're not giving your power to somebody as a submissive, like, right. Here it is, m'lady, I'm going to kiss you. But no, it's more like, hurt me, motherfucker.
Right.
And you like to hurt people, and I want to be hurt because I like that endorphin high. I like the adrenaline rush, all that stuff that comes with masochism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this, I'm simplifying it because it's more complicated than that. And then there's people who are submissive. And so here's an example. One of my partners is not a masochist. He's a submissive. And I'm a sadist. And I like to hurt him. But he doesn't enjoy it in the way that a masochist would at all, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And yet he gives me the gift of his submission to the pain.
Right.
Which turns me on even more.
Right.
That's really hot, right? So a submissive person is someone who for a moment or that time, and it can be 24/7 for some people that live with him, gives up their power consensually to someone else. Sometimes it's their erotic power only.
Right.
Sometimes in the case of somebody who lives in a master or mistress slave relationship, it's all their power. Whatever's negotiated, they give their power up. And they get their jollies, their eroticism, their whatever from that gift of the power, giving it up. I know a lot of professional dominatrixes whose regular clients are lawyers and doctors and congresspeople. Mm-hmm. They're people with power. And for able to give it up for even a little bit, can be really...
Yeah.
Well, it's balancing.
Exactly.
It's common enough that that's almost a stereotype.
Exactly. No. Exactly. And then there's... So I had a person in my life who was a service submissive. She was also a bit of a masochist. She really loved rope, and it got her kind of high. But she was mostly a service submissive. Very rare. This is a person who finds some kind of joy in doing service for you, whether you're there or not.
Right.
My car was always clean. You know, it was ritualized for her, and it was really powerful. And she was one of the highest decorated Air Force personnel during the time of non-combat during the war in Kosovo. She killed a guy. She's a badass little bitch, right? She's about barely five foot tall. She's a Air Force major, or she was, and now she's a high school teacher. So badass.
Yeah.
Totally badass. And so submissive in play that, I mean, you would lay rope on her and her eyes would close almost. And she was just so, would fall into this.
Right.
It was an amazing experience. So, so there's a lot of different kinds of reasons why we do what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all mixed up. And for some of us, it's a mixture of all of it. Being a switch, I don't do masochism very much anymore. Ever since having cancer, it changed my whole relationship. Seriously, to pain and to endorphins. I still play a little bit, but not very often as a bottom. More top now and more dominant and sadistic. But I do all of it. You know, it's all there, you know.
Right.
And it also depends, you know, if it's about sex or about the play, because it can be two separate things, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so much. So much to explore. What you drinking? We forgot to introduce your drink. This is one that I didn't want to throw out the window this week.
This is really good. It's a gin sling.
Yeah, gin sling. It's a 19th century, late 19th century recipe.
It's very, very, very good.
It's
what do you use in it?
It's gin, sweet vermouth, lemon juice, Angostura bitters and soda water.
And that sounds like a glass of horror.
It does.
But it doesn't taste that way.
No, it's
all
really
mixed
good.
Up. It's
delicious.
Got kind of a brandy-ish kind of note to it.
Yeah. He's made some horrifying drinks.
I've made some awesome drinks.
He likes things like the Samoan fog cutter, which makes me
want to... Oh, hell yeah.
It's an old person drink.
Oh, this is a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're very welcome. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
So how does... an aging person deal with BDSM play? What are some of the things
Boy, that's a good question, you know. So,
because your body's different.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, okay, so you did the whole cancer thing.
So I'm really thankful that I am a switch.
Right.
Because, so a couple things have happened is my libido took a nosedive, and I'm hoping it's from the drug. I'm on this weird drug. I've got another... less than a year left on it. And it's, I asked my doctor, I said, so what's the side effect? She goes, oh, it's like menopause. She goes, mood swings, night sweats and weight gain. And
oh,
I'm
that's
like,
it.
Thank you. I've already done that.
Yeah. I've got the t-shirt, bitch.
And along with that comes, some effects of libido and stuff.
Sure.
So my libido's kind of been whatever. And that's okay, because some of the stuff that I do doesn't require actual quote unquote sex as we think of sex.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's been one thing that's come up for me. And I'm, like I said, I'm not sure where that's from, and it's okay. I mean, it's not causing me any grief or anything. It's just kind of different. The big one is, the aches and pains and arthritis and not being able to stand as long as I used to. That the physical stuff. God, you know, so I do a lot of things now that instead of using big, heavy play toys, I might use canes because they're lighter and stuff. My partner, who also has some, he's older, he lays down. Instead of standing up for a long time, you know, I sometimes will sit in a chair while I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah. There you go.
So some people have chair yoga. You've got chair caning.
Chair caning, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a big one. There's when it comes to sex, there's the wonderful dryness that comes along with age and stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, more lube. But with
Gun oil from Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That was the best thing. Made me so happy.
For those of you that aren't in the know, there is a specifically formulated anal lube that is called Gun Oil.
It's the favorite of all the men I know.
Yes. And Walmart stocked it in their weapons section. They're sporting goods.
Well, it said gun oil.
Right.
And it also has some comment about, you know, making your gun fire or something. So.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yes. So you got to use more lube.
Got to use more lube, you know, be condoms. A little bit slower, that kind of thing. Be more aware. Gloves.
So and gloves for anal play, vaginal play.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I'm a big safer sex queen, so that's really important to me. But sadly, it is people my age don't think about it as much because, you know, I grew up with the era of no condoms. So
And if you're going to play with multiple partners with sex toys, wrap them or clean them in between. And,
that's right. Yeah. You know, learn to eroticize.
Kids about how you should engage in safer sex.
Do you know, my former husband eroticized safer sex so much that when the female condom came out, when Steve and I got together, it was always safer sex, right? The female condom came out, he couldn't keep an erection because he didn't have a condom on.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Weird.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He totally eroticized it. Wow. So one of my advices to young people is, young men, is to masturbate with a condom.
Yeah.
Get yourself used to that feel and eroticize that because it will make a difference.
Right.
And then I tell young women, if little boys tell you, it hurts so much, I really need to get off, tell them to go masturbate with a condom.
Yeah.
Plus,
blue balls don't exist.
It's cleaner.
Oh, definitely. You know, well, there is that too.
The stiff towels and socks, and
but the biggest thing you deal with
or
aging.
Easier cleanup.
Nothing. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's not jizz isn't dirty. I put it in my mouth all the time.
It's not dirty at all. Yeah. No, but the biggest thing about aging is those aches and pains and your stamina and stuff. So other things to think about also is if you are dealing with, say, a heart issue or something that might make you drop dead at any moment, which, you know, then you need to make sure that if you tie your bottom up, they have a quick release, that there's somebody there to let them go if you happen to drop dead. I mean, that's a kind of scary things to think about.
Yeah. Didn't even think about that one. I mean, you know, I've got somebody I can call if I die and clean up my porn and chase.
That's
my,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Passwords, but
If you're all tied up to the rack and your partner goes takes a boom, honey, you know, did you read Gerald's Game?
No.
Stephen King's one of his most messed up books is a woman. She starts off with a woman in a cabin in the woods. Her husband handcuffed her to a bed, and he has a heart attack and dies, and it's almost all in her head.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get really into the weird Stephen King-y stuff until later. It's just mostly all in her head.
Wow.
Think about it. Oh, sorry. It's Halloween time. I'm, you know, whatever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so awesome. It is something you have to think about, you know?
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you got your medications there. If you're somebody that, you know, one of my partners is diabetic. You know, and as we get older, those illnesses and stuff take more tolls.
Sure.
So we need to, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, know. there's been, you know, some sessions where I've had to, you know, ice my hip after.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, it starts at a young age.
Or you're like, you're doing away and all of a sudden like, stop!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to cramp! Cramp!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cramps. Oh, yeah.
Potassium pills, drink more water. Yeah, so for your generation specifically, because they're not used to the safer sex talks.
Yeah.
So when they're engaging with a new partner, I mean, it is imperative that they have, you know, a talk about your sexual history.
Absolutely.
So what does that sound like for your generation? Because we try and make it fun and flirty and relaxed and.
Well, for my generation, it's like, have you done it? Have you gotten tested? I mean, we're scared to death to talk about it, right? If I was going to encourage anybody, I'd be like, don't have the conversation as you're getting undressed to go have sex, to have sex. Have the conversation earlier that evening at dinner or a couple days before. And
yeah.
Just say, I get tested every 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is.
Sure.
And assume that they get tested. Just say, when do you get tested?
Right.
And then they'll be like, huh? And then you can have a conversation. Or they'll be like, oh, I get tested every four months.
Right.
And you'll be like, wow, I found somebody smart.
Right, right, exactly.
And,
yeah.
Or, you know, clued in. But act as if, just act as if they do. But
yeah.
And get tested.
And does Medicare cover that?
I don't know.
Damn. Oh,
wow. I have no idea.
Stumped you.
You did. Stump the star. Look that up. It's all good. Does Medicare cover? I'm going to Google that.
I was just curious because it is multiple testings in a year. You know, I know it's covered under an annual physical.
Right.
But extraneous testing, is that covered under Medicare? Because I think that would be something.
I'm going to have to check that out. It definitely should be.
Yeah.
We'll find out and post it with the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's an important issue.
Yeah, for sure. Well, sexual health. Do you have plans to do like a... like a tract to leave in laundromats?
I'm working on an education course, a twofold course. One of them is to take to senior community centers where people just go and hang out and teach seniors who are living on their own and living home. Just do like a one afternoon safer sex class type thing that I can take around. But the biggest thing I'm working on is one of the areas that we don't think about is that many people, a little older than me, but people from the oldest part of the baby boomer cohort, are going into assisted living conditions, whether full care nursing home type places or just partial assisted living. They're still in an environment that automatically assumes you're not having sex. They just assume that.
How did that come about, sterilizing senior sexuality? Because, I know my grandfather was borking it until he...
How did any of it come around?
Right.
I mean, everyone assumes that you're... I mean, it's kind of the American thing. I mean, everybody knows everybody's having sex.
But nobody wants
officially,
to...
Officially, no one is supposed to be having sex because teenagers aren't supposed to be having sex because they're not married. Married people are only supposed to be having sex
to procreate.
With themselves, you know, with each other and only to procreate. So that's like, you know...
And as a teenager, you don't want to know that your parents are having sex. So as an
adult,
you don't want to know that.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And like, you're not having any more kids. Why are you guys fucking? Right?
Right.
You know? So there's...
You're over 40. That's gross.
It is. Yeah. Oh, you know? But and that's the problem is that we've just built on this sexual shame and all this sexual misinformation.
Right.
So now we have a generation of people. The highest incidence of new HIV is among people over 60.
Yeah.
The chlamydia is rampant in people over 50 as it is in the 24 to 25-year-old age range.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of statistics are scary.
Yeah.
And we have Viagra that keeps us going longer. We have healthier seniors. Mm-hmm. So even seniors who are in assisted living, say, because of a dementia and are because of some issues, are still getting it on. They're still getting it up.
Yeah.
And then we have to add dementia to that. We add Alzheimer's and dementia. And then we have.
And
so,
where does that come in with consent?
Exactly. That's one of the questions. How can we be sure so there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on. So there's a place in Riverside, New York.
Okay.
I think it's Riverside. There's a Jewish nursing home that in 1995 posted their first sexual responsibility kind of a decree for their residents.
Oh,
wow. Nice.
And in it, there's actually, and they've added to it every year, but it's this whole sexual policy, sexual rights policy. It's powerful. I mean, it's really powerful.
Well, and here's the deal. Old ladies, once they hit a certain age, they have no fucking filter anymore. They're not ashamed to talk about it.
That's right.
You know, so why is it a big secret? Is it the gatekeepers that are trying to keep
a lot
secret
of
us, from the kids?
It's no,
yeah,
it's
because the kids don't want to have, you know. Okay, so my family on my mother's side, you know, Nana was fucking amazing, and she would talk about stuff, and then her daughters would get freaked out. Like, she was like, oh, me and Bill, we fucked until we were well into our 80s.
Oh, we fucked in the car on that camping trip.
Right, or yeah, we were, you know, you guys, you kids were in the tent, and then we would go to the car and get it on. And there was this reaction. My oldest uncle was like, yeah, and... You know, and then there was the you know, my mother, who was just like, oh, come on. You know, and her reaction wasn't, ooh, that's gross or anything like that. She's just like, it's not appropriate. And then, you know, you get down, and as they got younger, it got weirder. And it was like my youngest aunt, who's 10 years older than me, was like, oh, Jesus, come on. No, I don't want to hear about old people having sex.
And they're baby boomers.
And they're all boomers.
They're all sexual revolution
that,
in
so
San
that's
Francisco.
Thing. I know. So that and that's a problem we're dealing with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But so you've got people in assisted living situations, and their kids don't assume that they don't do it. The staff turns their head and ignores it.
Yeah.
And people have unprotected sex. And people who have been living with STIs and didn't know it. Mm. And people, you know, people. And we've got the consent issue. So one of the things this place in New York did is they actually have a questionnaire that they created for their staff to ask themselves, but to look at it if it was consensual. Because just because somebody has Alzheimer's doesn't mean it. That they can't consent to sexuality.
Right.
There was just that incident this summer. In fact, this is how I found out about the place in New York, is they quoted it in an article where the politician, his wife was in a nursing home, and he went and had sex with her, and then he got charged with rape, and it was just this really horrible thing this summer.
Right.
And so that's what got me thinking about this. So we need to have a three-pronged education program. We need to teach caregivers how to create space.
Yep.
There's,
they need playrooms.
They need
flat out.
They do. They absolutely do. I have a friend
happy
who's,
to well, come hey. In. I'm a pro at installing.
I have a friend who's an
playrooms.
Architect who he and I are working together on part of this curriculum to teach them how to create space.
Yeah.
Hook me up, sister.
Do you know that just until recently, a friend of mine who works at a assisted living facilities, they were told just recently that they had a knock on the door before they could walk in. Just recently, they've always been able to walk in.
Well, because they treat it like a hospital.
That's
right.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And
well, now I've been in hospitals where they knock.
That's true. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, you have a dick. We don't get that same.
And
they
will.
Here.
But they won't give them safe spaces to explore their sexuality with each other. They don't supply condoms. They don't supply education.
Well, hey now, if you supply condoms to old people, they're just going to try to use them.
That's true.
So,
oh my God.
You know, and then they'll have sex, and then ew.
Ick.
Right.
Is that how that works? Is that what's happening?
Like, I'm waiting for the.
And then you have their. Then you have their children.
What?
Condoms
what?
Are only for not you. Yeah.
Oof. Then you have the kids. The kids do not want to even think that, because mom's in there and dad's been dead for 6 years. Why would mom be going down the hall to have sex with John or Mary or whatever? That's disgusting.
Right.
And here's a true story. This happened about 6 years ago. There was a man and a woman who were both suffered from dementia and were in love at this. And so much so that they were the envy of all the other patients. The staff just turned a blind eye, just like let them have this relationship. They were so in love until the son of the daughter of the father walked in on him one day, and her quote was, "She had his penis in her mouth. That's dirty and disgusting." And then they decided. Now the son of the old of the or the daughter of the mother thought it was like right on, or the father, one of the two, was like really happy about it. They were like, "I'm glad my parents having sex, healthy sex." But they removed the male partner's kids removed him away from that gold digging woman.
What the hell?
Gold digger, they called her. So they separated a consensual relationship because they could, because they were kids have that kind of control.
Yeah.
Think about that when you start signing your powers of attorney when you go to those places.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got that issue. And then you also have the issue of educating people from my age cohort and older. So, and that gets kind of sticky. It's one thing to go to a place where people are living in apartments and condos and teach.
Sure.
But you're talking to people who are in assisted living, who might be dealing with dementia, and also come from a generation where mixed couples didn't talk about sex.
Right.
Yeah. How do you teach them safer sex?
Right.
So I'm actually looking for a, possibly a male person to go teach the men, and I'll teach the women, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I have a three-pronged education program that I'm working on that we'll see.
Cool.
I got last summer, I got to speak at a conference called Leading Age, and it was the first non-sexual conference I've ever spoken at where I've got to speak about sex.
Yeah.
And I talked to a bunch of long-term and short-term care providers.
Very
and
cool.
About just the subject.
Very
and
cool.
Stuff.
Yeah, good. So. Good.
It was awesome.
Thanks for paving the way, because I don't want to deal with that bullshit when I get older.
I hear that.
And, you know, we've talked about in our world domination plans, you know, Adventure Club, New Club, and then, you know, retirement center.
I think I've always
and resort of, adjacent to it, because why not? You know yeah. what? Sometimes people want to get their gilf on.
Well, I agree.
They
well,
do.
There's that place in Florida that seems to be in the news every 6 months or so, where it's somebody's caught having sex outside, and it's one of those. It's not an assisted living center, but it's right. one of those places where you park your car outside of it, get in your golf cart, and go to your house.
Oh,
and you take golf carts everywhere.
Yeah,
and then every once in a while there'll be like a.
So
you
it's
know,
like Burning Man.
For senior citizens,
yeah. A little bit, yeah. It's hot, yeah, it's hot, and it's, you know, whatever. But yeah, so then every once in a while there'll be some couple that's caught, you know, in flagrante delicto in the commons area or something, because they've gone to the cafe after hours and decided
right.
to knock it out because they didn't want to take their carts at 5 miles an hour over to the house. They're like, fuck it, let's just, you know, there's nobody around. And then security guard walks by and shines a flashlight on them, and then they get arrested for public indecency.
Yeah, I know. I hate that. When did that happen? Just tell us to move along.
Yeah. Well,
you know. I remember banging a guy.
Revenue.
At Lake, what's the lake out by past Tukwila? Anyhow, one of the lake, this lake, I was banging this police officer I used to date.
Ah.
He was an undercover officer. We were on the deck, and then the real cop showed up with the uniform showed up, so we had to run through the woods naked. that was so much fun. Oh, my God. We had a blast. Yeah. Cops can be fun when they're undercover. That was a nice little memory thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, at Angle Lake. That's yeah. what it was, then. At Angle Lake.
Good times. Any looking fun back. Stories from this week?
Fun stories from this week. Yeah, no.
No, you've no. been with my sorry ass all week.
Edited a porn on my anniversary.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had our 20th anniversary. We edited some porn with one of your ex-play partners.
Yeah.
That was a fundraiser for an auction that we had. So, or it was an auction item. So we got that done.
All straightened out.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of things you can't really, you know, talk about with your friends.
Not really.
What'd you do for your anniversary? I had Thai food.
Any fun kinky stories from the week?
Huh?
Any fun kinky stories from the week?
Oh, God, no. I've been busy. Doing nothing exciting. So my main partner that I see the most is just started a new job where he works nights and stuff.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Post
and
your
weekends.
Schedule.
Nights and weekends. So, yeah. Damn restaurant industry, you know?
Right, yeah.
It sounds like you need to have some nooners.
I'm just looking for a newer. I mean, nooner would be fine.
See, that's the thing. Like, I won't lie. Like, if that was the situation with a play partner and I just said at New Horizons, hey, I'm going to use a satellite from noon to two today because the sheets.
We're looking at him coming on like Tuesday afternoons because
nice.
There's parties on Tuesdays.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've got the daytime parties there. Yeah.
But it's kind
of
funny.
Lots of fun stuff.
Like,
we're doing a party with the Adventure Club there at CSPC.
Oh,
that's
did you go on Friday night?
I did.
Yay.
I did. OMG Sex Party, guys. Go check it out.
Was it fun?
It was cool.
Isn't Kiki a sweetheart?
She is amazing.
She's adorable.
Yes. Yes. She was super hospitable and it was a really nice, relaxed atmosphere and...
Yeah, we got you guys all set up for the end of the month.
Yep. The 29th, we'll be having a Don't Tell Mama party for NH alumni. So just a little fun.
Sweet.
Sexy scavenger hunt.
Yeah, I'm very excited about having
chocolate
fountain
and get a bunch of people there to just Yeah, have a little family reunion.
So. Yeah, I'm going to drop by late. I have cool. I'm speaking at a Munch in Auburn that
nice.
Night.
Nice. And what is a Munch for our listeners who don't
know? A Munch is a meetup grouping of the kinky people call them Munches. I think there are Munches also in the poly world and other groups. But, you know, that where groups of people get together at a restaurant usually and have dinner or lunch or brunch, depending on the day, and talk about, sometimes it's free form, just meeting and socializing with people that get your jokes and are mm-hmm. also kinky. And sometimes there's specific topics and discussions
right.
and stuff. And the Auburn Valley Munch is doing one on, we're going to talk about actually sexual assault and issues within the BDSM
Good.
Community. So it'll be an interesting
Good, yeah, because there's some blurred lines that can happen there sometimes
Shit
because there are
happen.
People
yep.
that enjoy engaging in non-consent play.
That's right. Well, so. like I tell students and people I talk to, we're no different than anybody else. And,
yep.
you know, a certain percentage of the PTA, a certain percentage of your church, and a certain percentage of the kinky community commit certain kinds of crimes
yep.
and do things that are not consensual.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
We're not any better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'd like to think we are. Well, we are better in some areas, but.
Right. Right.
We have our shit too.
We do. We do. Yeah. We'll keep working on the mediation group for the sex positive community.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that project. So.
Yeah. We need to get back going on that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be good. It'll be good. Well, I got bent over the hood of the car after a job fair this week in a parking lot.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
See how she did that? She was like,
yeah.
"Hey, you got anything?
You guys
nope.
have anything to say?
Nope.
Nope.
Not
well,
guess
I...
what happened to me?
Neener, neener, neener.
But I, yeah, it was. But I got freaked out because I'm like, okay, this would have been fine 10 years ago, but I don't want like a sexual predator. You know, level 2 sex offender thing on my fucking record. If the
which
cops
is what
show
you
up.
Get for public indecency
yes!
in the state of Washington.
It is
Da-ding.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever. Anyway, so it didn't go too far, but it was fun.
But
it
was still fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that, and then I'm doing the OK Cupid thing a little bit right now. So.
Oh, do you get a lot of those? Hey, you are sexy.
I delete those.
Hey.
I do, however, I.
Like your profile.
Yet. Yeah. No. I haven't yet, but I'm going to put a disclaimer on the end of my profile that says, if you don't send me a nice message, it might wind up on a podcast. I did get.
Please.
Or if you do.
Would you me to send you some samples?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
I do have like 2 people that I actually know in real life that are sending me spam. So they'll send me like dirty messages or like my cock is really thick. You know, do you want to see a picture or stuff like that? Which is a lot of fun. It makes me laugh really
right.
hard. But my favorite one this week was a dude that said, hey, face fucking. And then gave me multiple choices.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What choice did you A, B, or C? You know,
I chose block.
What I like is
he was asking.
That's only for special people. I only puke on your cock.
He was asking. He was asking for a friend.
He was asking
that's
for a friend.
Right.
But I did get a really cute one. Oh yeah. Okay. So I've got to ask if it's okay to read it on the air. I had somebody just like contact me about this weird relationship that they're having, and it's like, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, and if this is out of line, I'm not interested in dating you, but I needed some advice from somebody who isn't my 20-year-old friend.
I've actually had that kind of like, thing, and it's like, that's so cool.
It was fun, and like. We messaged back and forth, and he asked me a couple of detailing questions.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And he's from elsewhere in the country, kind of a repressed area. So it was, you know, yeah. So I'm like, all right, outreach, sweet.
Yeah.
So that made me not want to delete my account.
I always like the ones that obviously did not read, because I have disclaimers like that too.
Right.
And they'll be, and one of them is I'm polyamorous and I'm really not looking for partners right now. Maybe some friends. We'll see, you know.
Right.
And they'll be like, you know, you look like an amazing lady. And they're really long and serious.
Sure.
And they're looking for a wife.
Yep.
And I'm like, you must just cut and pasted that one because
right. yeah.
there's nothing about me in there. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's a hint for those of you that are out there on OkCupid, which I have met a couple really awesome people
yeah.
on OkCupid.
Yeah.
Write more than a sentence.
Right.
Write 2 or 3 paragraphs. Reference the person's information that
right.
there's something that you like about what
yeah.
they say in their profile
mm-hmm.
and say something nice about yourself and never mention your penis or your vagina.
Yes.
There
That's,
you go.
That is how you write good.
Nailed it.
And you know what? And I will talk to you.
I'll write you back.
I would like to add that Alina just confirmed a thing that I said last week about OkCupid, and that is every single person that ever talks about it talks about nobody reads my profile.
I think I'm that better than average, because I'd say about half the messages mention something in my profile.
Yeah.
Or, that's cool. You know.
Yeah, you're lucky. Yeah. Just wait.
Yeah. No, I believe
you're new. Yeah. No.
I'm revisited. Like, I was on there. A couple years ago.
Oh, she's back. Yeah.
Hey. You know, this person I used to bother with dick pics is back on, though.
Right.
I guess I better start sending those again.
I've only had one of those.
So do you know why straight men send dick pics to women? My friend.
No.
My friend who's gay. It's his fault. Back many, many years ago.
Oh, dear God.
No. Many, many years ago, my friend and a bunch of his other friends, gay men, had straight profiles on different dating sites. This was back in the early 90s. And he was Candy. She was 18. Mm. And they would all ask for dick pics because they're gay guys that want to look at penises. And I have a feeling that culture is why straight guys think we all want to see their fucking dick.
Wow. Yeah.
My friend used to do that. Isn't that awesome?
Know what? I love the
gays. It was the gays.
But I'm going to beat the shit out of
them. Hey,
here's what I do with dick pics. You send me a dick pic, I send you a picture of a sheep having babies. You send me another dick pic, you get a prolapsed uterus.
I want to do that.
It's awesome.
Oh, set a picture of a fetus or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's medical photos.
That's awesome.
That's what you want. You want to exchange medical photos? Ooh, okay, I can play that game.
A penis that's been flayed across open. And, no, oh. I've got all kinds of ideas now. I'm going to go get a bunch of pictures, and I'm going to keep them on my computer just for that.
Yes.
Now I'm going to hope that I get dick pics and my phone. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe I should start.
That's a warning. Don't send me any dick pics, darling.
Right. Oh, gosh. Yeah, look at me not even having an OkCupid account yet.
Anyway, so sugaring. I'm getting an appointment with
From
Julie.
From sheep birthing to...
She's the one that started that shit.
That's true, she did.
She is the one that encouraged me and laughed, and because she sent me a dick pic one time, and I sent her that back, and she was like, bested.
Ah, yes.
That is why we are friends.
So what were you going to say? Sorry.
I have an appointment to get my junk sugared.
Excellent.
How about you?
With whom?
Julie Maines of Sugar Me Julie.
Ah, excellent.
She sponsors our podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have an appointment.
Are you getting sugared?
I should get sugared, yes. I haven't been sugared in more than a year now, because the last time I got sugared was right before I went to Burning Man 2014.
Wow.
I know. It's been a while.
What do you do down south of the border?
Right now it's all natural. It's a jungle down there.
Nice.
Yeah. After the
sport in the 70s bush.
Yeah. After the chemo thing, I lost everything. You know, after chemo, all my hair, and it was just kind of weird to not have any hair at all. And so I decided not to. I'm back to being a hippie. You see, I wear dresses now all the time, and I don't shave anything, and I'm free love hippie chick. Reliving the 60s and 70s. except I'm using condoms.
Well done. Well done.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show
You're
today.
You're so welcome. This has
good
been
to
fun.
Have you. Hey. Yeah, out here at Shanker Love. So, yeah, good times.
So, you know, if people want to get a hold of us, they can contact us at theofacepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @theofacepodcast or @MissJenga. You can find Freckles O'Face and Jack O'Face on Facebook.
How can they get a hold of Elena?
You know what? We didn't actually talk about that before the thing, so plug away.
You can send me an email at elena.gabosh@gmail.com.
And you've got a podcast, which we didn't even get into.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, the RA Show podcast. And I've got eroticcoaching.com, which is my, because I'm also a coach. And I do coaching around poly and kink and all that, relationships and stuff. So I have eroticcoaching.com. I'm LadySun333 on Twitter and Alina Kabosh on Facebook. And if you're going to friend me on Facebook, you got to send me an email, a message of some sort saying why.
Like a dick pic?
And no dick pics.
Because she's got a new program for retaliation.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
High five.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. And thank you for giving 110% in the community.
You're so welcome.
And that is another
podcast
in Genghis Khan.
That looks easy enough. And Joey is going to try it out.
like fat, big, black.
Oh my God.
Yeah, microphones.
Come to think of it, I like big, black, fat microphones. I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about the first guy I ever really tried to fuck.
Yeah.
And it was emphasis on tried. He had a beer can for a penis.
Dude.
It was so big around, I couldn't put my hand around it. And so he's like, you know, this isn't going to work. How about I teach you how to get blowjobs? So I learned how to get blowjobs to big ones. And,
you know, well, there you go.
It was easier than trying to get my pussy around it.
All right, that's a good. That's a good sound check.
Yeah. All right.
That's right. I got all of that. Yeah.